good this morning. That's working now, isn't it? I think last night I might have messed up and didn't turn it on when I was supposed to. And then I think maybe he was trying to fix it up there. And I don't know what happened. But anyhow, it's working this morning, ain't it?
Amen.
And I'm glad to see all of you this morning. I enjoyed last night so much listening to Brother Tony preach. And I really did. I can identify with a lot of that. And, you know, he's from down in the South, and I am too. And a lot of them terms he uses last night, he's talking about difference in big woods and brush. Amen. I said, you know what? I said, some people probably, what's he talking about big woods and brush? Well, that's just it. He's talking about big woods and brush. That's it. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed all of you singing. It's so good. You know, folks, if you don't sing, if you're not into music, you really can't appreciate how much work these people put in all this. You really can't. And then, if you ain't careful, you know, you're a member of a good old-fashioned Bible-believing church that stands right and believes right. If you're not careful, you'll just you'll take it for granted. You know, when I was a boy, let me tell you this little story, and then I'm going to preach to you. And I'm not going to preach near as long as I did last night. Let Brother Tony come preach. When I was a kid, we lived on a little old 32-acre farm, a little tract of land, 32 acres, that we leased it. We didn't own it. We leased it from Beaver Coal and Land Company for $52 a year. That was the rent for the house and the land. A dollar a week is what we paid. And the house was right on the creek, and we didn't have gas in there. No way. The way we heated it was wood and coal. And my dad, he bought some milk cows. And we had a couple of milk cows. We had hogs. We had a mule, Brother Tony. Had a mule. Had a team of horses. And we plowed. And my daddy, I mean, he was a coal miner, but he'd done the plowing. He'd plow up ground, and we farmed and worked there. Well, across the creek from where I lived, I had a buddy that his dad and them, they had good jobs, made a lot of money. And they had a beautiful home over there. And I would go over and, play ball with them, that kind of thing, when we could. And we become good friends. It was three of them boys, and of course, me and my brother, and we become good friends. Well, I'd go over there to his house. And one day he invited me inside the house. That's the first time I ever seen a thermostat. They had central heating and air in their house. Actually, we're talking back there in like 1966, along through there, 65, 66. And they had every modern convenience that anybody could have. And we had, like I said, we burned wood, coal, and that now, milk cows, and we churned, made our own buttermilk and butter and all of that. And they didn't live like that. And I went in that house one day. Man, I seen the carpet in there, the nice carpet and the nice appliances and all that stuff. All of our stuff, it wasn't like that. And I said to him, man, this is something, you know, all that you have here. And he said to me, it's not anything. He said, ain't nothing. Well, let me tell you why it wasn't nothing. Because he'd lived like that all his life. So that's the first time some of that stuff I'd ever seen it. And I thought to myself, it might not be nothing to you. Bless God, you come over every day and have to haul coal and wood to a warm morning. Amen. And when it got hot in the house, Mom would be canning stuff. You just open them windows, get a draft going through there, you know. And of course we had cows and horses and hogs and all of it. And then, you know, that brought in flies, you know. And boy, you'd listen. Remember them things you'd hang up? I don't know if some of you remember. Remember those things? We'd hang them up with a tack on the porch. Yeah, hang them up on the porch, you know. And them things a little bit, man, you live on a farm, they'd be full of flies. But that's just the way we live. But you know why that boy wasn't really thankful or really appreciative of what he had? Because that's all he ever knew. See, the truth of it is right here. Some of you, some of you here, if you're not careful, you'll take your preacher, your choir, your singers, your buildings, your facilities, everything you got. And somebody comes in and says, man, I'll tell you, this is nice. And what they do, Brother Manning, is say, this is just the way it is. But let me tell you the way it is. You can have a devil get in the middle of things and tear it up and lose the whole thing. Now, let me tell you something. You better, while the coffee's brewing, you better smell it. You better wake up and smell it and enjoy it and get down somewhere every day on your knees and thank God for your church and your preacher and what God's give you. Don't take any of it for granted. Don't take any of it for granted. And I'm going to tell you, don't take people for granted. Don't take people for granted. Don't take each other for granted. Don't take anything. You ought to be thankful.
Amen.
You ought to be thankful. And by the way, that thankfulness stuff ain't a big deal. Read Romans 1, and it is a big deal. And brother, you get to where you're not thankful, and I tell you what, a bunch of other stuff creeps in.
Yeah, right.
You better be thankful for everything God's done for you here. Well, I'm thankful to be here. And I want you to take your Bible, turn to Acts 27. And Pastor, thank you for inviting me and listen to that nice room over there, over at the motel. So nice and clean. And boy, it's a whole lot nicer than what I deserve, I'll tell you that. So nice. And I appreciate it. And the preacher was trying to get me a room, and I'm sure somebody here takes care of getting the rooms like they do at our place. And he told me he was having a conference here. They was having a conference. Well, I think the people over at the motel misunderstood and thought that they was going to have a conference in the room. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying they're going to have a conference in the room, their preacher's conference. So when they got my room, when you go, you come in it, first there's a long table. There's a long table there and got chairs around it like a conference room. And Brother Bell yesterday took me to the room, and we had the bags, and he opened the door. Man, look in there, and there was all these chairs, this table. And he turned around, the manager was behind us because we couldn't get the key to work when we first came up there. And he came in there and looked, and we looked. Brother Bell said, man, this is not a bedroom. And that meant, yeah, it is. We went on in there, and there's that big old table, Brother Tony, and all them chairs. And then you go through the door right here, and there's a bedroom right here. So I can have a conference with God in the morning and go in there and do my Bible reading and pray. But I never seen anything like that. Didn't know like anything like that existed. But they thought they was having a conference in there. And I told Brother Bell, I said, Brother Bell, that room right here, if you want to, you can move this table out and you can just about this thing big enough about bring everybody in here. We have the conference in here. Amen. But anyhow, I'm thankful for it. It's nice and clean, and I just appreciate the nice room and all of it. And good to see all of you here. Brother Manning, good to see you, buddy. I'm glad to see you and your other preachers here this morning. And look in Acts 27. I preached before here. I try to keep down a note of what I preached. And I preached out of Acts 27 here sometime back a year or two ago. But this is actually not the same sermon. It's a little bit different. And so I want you to, if you would, to look at Acts 27 and stand with me. Let me get to preaching and get in it and get done and let Brother Tony come. Verse 21 says, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and to gain this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast the anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Did you hear what he said? Except you abide in the ship. Here's what he's saying. If you don't stay on board, he said, you can't blame whatever happens to you on God. I'm telling you to stay on board. And I'm preaching to you this morning simply on this thought this morning on reasons for staying on board. Reasons for staying on board. Our Father, I pray that you would help me now, Lord, to preach, God, to help people, Lord, today for that very thing, to just simply stay on board. I pray you'll use me, and God, use Brother Tony as he comes in a little bit to preach. And Lord, thank you for this church and their outreach of soul winning, and God, the bus ministry and missions and all they're doing, and their music and all that they're doing. God, thank you for them. Bless them, and let this be a good week to help the church. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, and most of you, if you've been saved any length of time, that you've read this story here in the book of Acts. Paul is a preacher, and of course, he'd been preaching and soul winning and got locked up for it. And he's done stood before Agrippa and Felix and Festus, and done stood before all these politicians and witnessed to them. And you know, one thing Paul would do is that when he got before any of them, he always give his testimony and what happened to him on the Damascus Road. He always told about how he got saved, and he told Agrippa straight out. He said, "I know." He said, "You believe what I'm telling you is right," because he said, "This thing wasn't done in a corner. You know what I'm talking about," and Agrippa did. And then the Bible said Felix trembled. Felix trembled whenever Paul witnessed him. And Festus was a hard case. He just believed Paul was crazy, like a lot of people believe we are today. But nevertheless, he appealed and kept on going. They said, "Well, you're going before Caesar." And you know, when God saved Paul, he told Ananias when he went there to baptize him, he said, "He's a chosen vessel, and he's going to stand before kings and politicians and all that crowd, and he's going to stand before them to declare my name and to tell them what I've done." And so this is why he's going. But here he is, and Paul tells them here in this 27th chapter, he told them in the 9th verse on down through the about the 11th verse, Paul told them to leave the boat parked. He said, don't sail. He said, it's not a good time to be sailing. But they didn't listen to him. And they got out there, a preacher, and they got in this awful storm. They got in a horrible storm. I believe I might be pronouncing this right. Euroclydon. I guess that's pretty close. But Euroclydon, a storm. And brother, let me tell you, you know, there's storms, and then there's the storm.
Amen.
You know what I'm trying to say? And let me tell you something. You know, just imagine that this church is a vessel. And really, that's what it is. Yeah. And we're all on board here this morning. Your pastor's the captain as far as keeping things going and watching out for the ship and keeping it on course. And of course, the main captain is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it says after a long absence, where Paul was in, he was getting plugged into headquarters. He was checking in with the captain. He wasn't worried about the one that was steering that, because it then got out of control. There wasn't a thing they could do with this boat. But Paul got in a secret place, and he got a hold of God.
Yeah.
And God, he said, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not." He said, "You're going to stand before Caesar and tell the people to be of good cheer. Everything's going to be all right." And old Paul come out before them men. He said, "Men," he said, "be of good cheer." He said, "For I believe God." And he said, "God's going to take care of us in this thing." But he said this. He said in verse 31, except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved.
Right.
Now here's what he's saying. If you don't stay on board, you're committing yourself to the sea, and you're not going to make it. So stay on board.
Right.
Just stay on board. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. In these days that we're living, let me tell you what you better do. If you want to make it through this thing, brother, you better stay on board.
Amen.
I'm telling you something. Listen, things are going to happen. And there's not a church in this country. I mean, there's not a church in America that's a perfect church with a perfect pastor and perfect members and perfect situations. But let me tell you something. So you're going to have to do this. You're going to go through storms. You're going to go through them in your life personally, and then your church is going to go through it. But I've learned some things. Listen, that the best thing for you to do, brother, when the storms come, when you go through that, you rocklet, and you better just stay on board.
Amen.
Stay on board. Well, you say, preacher, why should I stay on board? What's the deal? Why everybody stay on board? And let me tell you something. As a pastor, and I'm not a great pastor, but I'll tell you something. These years that I've stayed at the church I'm at for 30, this is my 32nd year at Trinity Baptist Church. Let me tell you something. I've went through some battles, like your preacher has, and like every preacher does, it stays. If you stay and you build anything and you do what you're supposed to do, and you preach this book, and you get after souls, and you do what you're supposed to do, brother, and you build buildings and you buy properties and by the way, the preacher asked me to say, let me just say it very quickly what happened. We've been praying, and I've been praying and about paying off our debt, Brother Tony. I've been praying about paying that thing off. And it seemed like God wanted me to do it this year. And we owed over $200,000. I know that's not a lot of money, but in some ways it is. In some ways, $200,000 is a lot of money. And so I've been praying about that thing. Well, it was about 2.5 years out is what it was going to take us to finish, you know, pay it off. And I've been praying, and I got up one night preaching, and I just said, folks, God's going to pay this thing off this year. Well, when I said that, then I got to think about what I said. I said, you know what, you done said something, you know what I'm saying? You done made a statement, God's going to pay it off. Well, I have been praying, and I had a fella, and I promised him I wouldn't tell. He said, don't you tell. If you do, he said, I'm not going to give you anything else. So I'm not telling. And but he said, how much do you owe? On the church, how much money do we owe? And I said, well, I'm not sure. He said, call and get the payoff and call me back. So I got called, got the payoff, called him back, and he said, you come by. This was on Friday. He said, I've got to be gone tomorrow. You come by Monday. I'm coming back in. And he said, I'll have you a check. If I'm not there, he said, if I'm not there, he said, secretary, I'll have a check for you. And so I got a hold of the little girl that runs our finances, you know, keeps all the books. And she said, and I took it in and laid it down, and I said, look at it. And I said, let me tell you what this is for. And she said, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I didn't believe you when you said that God was going to pay this thing off this year. She said, did you know? I said, well, no, I didn't know. But I said, I've been asking him, and he took care of it. And she said, you want me to go to the bank now and pay it off? And I said, yeah. But I said, me and my wife will get in the car and follow you. Because I want to be there when they hand you the receipt and they tell you this thing's paid off. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord for that. I wanted to tell you about that. But you know what, brother? It's been 32 years, Brother Tony. We've been in debts. I mean, listen, debts. And there's been some times, I'll be honest with you, preacher, it didn't look like there's hardly enough money to do nothing. But you know what? Storms and battles. Boy, I'm telling you though, listen, if you'll just stay on board, but you got to stay on board. See, you can't leave the vessel and see God do something. You got to stay. And let me tell you some reasons to stay on board. Let me quickly, here they are. Number one, stay on board because of staying in the will of God. Hey, look what it says in verse 31. Except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Well, let me tell you something. It's the will of God. The man of God said stay on board. They stay on board. Now, let me tell you something. You listen to me real good here about this. If you're a member of this church or a member of Brother Manning's church, Brother Richardson's church, or whoever's church you're a member of here this morning, pastor sitting out here, and you're a member of this church right here, let me tell you something. Every time something don't go just to suit you, listen, you still need to stay on board because there's such a thing as the will of God.
Amen.
You know something? I got married in November 17th, 1973, right out of high school. I got married, preacher. I didn't know nothing about all this stuff they do now and all this premarital counseling and reading all these books everybody's wrote about marriage. I ain't seen nothing. I mean, I got saved and led my wife to Christ when she was in high school and I was in high school. I led her to Jesus in a public high school. Took her to church Sunday and she walked down the aisle and told the preacher she got saved and he baptized her. And she graduated a year ahead of me. And the next year I graduated and I was barely 18 years old. And we got married. And we just got married. And didn't know anything about nothing except this. I know to stay on board. And I know some of y'all say, well, I'll tell you what, that was a mistake. Well, I'll tell you what, bless God. It wasn't no mistake to me. You know, one thing it is, one thing about this right here, listen, I know two things. I know that I was saved and led her to Jesus, and we was in a good church and had a good man of God. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to him. Yeah. I told her, I said, now, I ain't very, experienced what I'm saying about how to guide a family or nothing like that, but we'll go down to church and we'll listen to the man of God. And Brother Richardson, let me tell you, two little kids, 18 years old, sat down out here in the church, and everything the preacher preached, if he listened, whatever he said, we showed up for it. And if he said, listen, you ought to tithe, we tithe. If he said, you ought to read your Bible, we read the Bible. I mean, whatever he preached, we just lined up with it. And you know what? Hey, it worked good. And you know what you do? If you'll just do what the man of God says about staying on board, to stay in the will of God. To stay in the will of God. Hey, Ephesians 5:17 says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And let me tell you, every time that the man of God gets up and preaches the word of God and it nails your hide to the wall, let me tell you something. Don't you say, well, we're going to go find a church. Bless God, you just get back up and line up with it. Hey, with a good attitude. And let me tell you something. And I've experienced this. Preacher, when your members, when their kids are little bitty things, everybody wants you to preach hard. But Brother Richardson, let me tell you something. When they get up, they start. Your kid starts getting up 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. They start getting up there, teenagers, and they start bucking stuff. You'd be surprised how fast mom and daddy will turn and think they're being led to go somewhere else. Well, let me tell you what you better do. You better hang in here and stay on board. Listen, you say, why? Staying in the will of God. You remember Elimelech? Remember him? And Naomi? And Mahlon and Chilion, the two boys, and the Bible said a famine come to Bethlehem, Judah. A famine came. You know what happened? You rocked it. Storm come. Famine. Hey, listen to this right here. God, let me tell you something. God would rather put the angels on half rations than he would starve me. You say, why? Because I'm his child.
Amen.
He's going to feed me. He's going to take care of me. Famine comes. I don't care, bless God, whatever happens. Whoever gets in the White House, whoever gets in there, I'm going to tell you something. Now, the economy is messed up now, and it might get a whole lot worse to where, that it's people just about starved to death. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to feed me. You say, why? He done said he was. God's going to take care of me. And I'm telling you right now. But brother, let me tell you, you jump overboard and you go trotting out the will of God. Let me tell you something. Hey, then God don't have to. He don't have to do that. He's going to let you learn. You go ahead and jump out of the will of God. And let me tell you something right here. That stay on board. Stay in your church. Stay on board. I'm simply staying here by the will of God. Elimelech, Naomi, and Mahlon, Chilion went down to Moab. And brother, 10 years, she come dragging back with one daughter-in-law. Brother, she buried two boys, and the other daughter-in-law stayed down there in Moab, buried her two boys, and she come back, and when the people looked at her, they said, is this Naomi? You know why? Brother, you'd be surprised what jumping out of the boat will do for you in 10 years. Oh, let me tell you something. You better stay on board. You know why? Hey, man of God said stay on board. And hey, and he just got off talking to Jesus. And Jesus told him, said, tell everybody to be a good cheer. He said, there'll be no man loss of any man's life, but of the ship. He said, the ship's going to get torn, but just stay on board. I can get you to the shore. And so what happens was, brother, when Elimelech went ahead and went down to Moab, brother, let me tell you something. Listen, he died there, and his boys died there. And when she come back and they said, "Is this Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara."
Right.
She said, "The Lord sent me out full." Let me tell you something. Hey, you got more than you think you got here.
Amen.
You got more than you think you got. You go trotting off out of the will of God, go sit somewhere else, backslid, no bad spirit. Go sit in somebody else's church. It won't be long. You'll be trotting out of there. First thing you know, you're just going from one to the other. And then one over here, been here. First, I got people who live in our town. Listen, they've been members. They just quit. They've been members of every church around there. They finally just run out of places to go. And listen, we got Baptist churches thick as a hair on a dog's back. We got Baptist churches everywhere down there. But people's jumped from this one to that one. And let me tell you what you do. You dig in and you just simply ride the storm out. Brother, you can't evacuate every time one comes. You got to stay. Somebody's got to stay on board. Now let me tell you something else. Stay on board not only because of staying in the will of God, but stay on board for safety's sake. Hey, do you know something? That verse 22 says, "And now be of good cheer. I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Well, there's a promise. Nobody ain't going to die. And then down in verse number 34, he said this, "Wherefore, I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health." Well, you couldn't eat if you was over in the water. You know what I mean? Hey, the health was staying on board. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Hey, if you jump overboard, there's more stuff in the water to hurt you than there is out. I'm saying they're staying on board. Hey, I've told you before, I went on one cruise in my life. Now, preacher, if I'm killing something, I hate to do it here, but I'm going to tell you, I just ain't much of a cruiser. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just not. I just ain't. A day or two of being out there is all right. And if you love it, keep going on it. If you love them, keep going on them and enjoying it. But I'm just not, after about a day, and I get in that much water, I get nervous. Because one, I ain't a good swimmer. I'm not a good swimmer. And my wife can't swim at all. And so when we got on that boat, she said, "Honey, you reckon they got lifeboats on there?" She done seen the Titanic, about what happened to it. And I said, "Yeah, I'm sure they do." And we got on there, and I went and found them. I looked over the side, and there was all them orange rafts. And I come back, and I said, "Yeah, they do have. They got them right on the side of here." And you know, she said, "Well, if something happens," I said, "you get a hold of me, and we'll take off running. We'll get on down the side, and we'll get in one of these things." Amen? And but you say, one thing I wasn't going to do, say, just jump in the water.
Right.
Because you know why? There's stuff in the water that big enough to swallow you. Hey, listen to what I'm telling you. You get out of church, and let me tell you something. You leave here, and they stuff out there swimming around waiting on you to come out. And all you'll be is a bunch. You'll be bait. You're just bait. You know that preacher down in Mississippi I preached for down there, Brother Crane. I preached for him down there one time down in Mississippi. His daddy was on the USS Indianapolis, and a Japanese torpedo hit that boat. And them boys stayed out in that water. Them sailors stayed in that water for days. A lot of them was killed at the blast, but a lot of them was in life, had life jackets, not rafts. But they was dangling out there in that water. And this man told me out of his own mouth that he seen his men that was in his unit out there in that water. He seen sharks get them. And he told me out of his own mouth that he felt, Brother Tony, he felt sharks swim under him and bump the bottom of his feet. I'll tell you, bless God, if one had bumped the bottom of my feet, I'd have come across that water walking like Simon Peter. Amen. Hey, and I wouldn't. Hey, and let me tell you something. I wouldn't have been sinking either, buddy. I'd have been running and treading it fast. Hey, that scared me to death. Hey, listen to me. You jump out of church, let me tell you, for safety's sake, you better stay here. Hey, why would anybody get mad at a preacher or get mad at the church or somebody in the church, pastor, and leave here and jump out of here to go jump out there where a bunch of people don't care what happens to you? Hey, let me tell you something. You may not believe it. This man of God sitting behind me up here, and you're a man of God where you're they happen to love you. Hey, they happen to love you and care whether you make it or not. And let me tell you, they're praying for you, pulling for you.
Yes, right.
Brother, listen, there's nothing listen, that has discouraged a preacher, listen, as bad as his people that he's prayed over and loved and cared for years and stuff, watch them go and jump off a board and jump over in the and commit themselves to the sea, knowing that, listen, what's going to happen to them and to their children. See, and by the way, payday don't always just come on Friday.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes you see them out, you know, and they'll say, how you doing? Well, we're just doing great. And a lot of them ain't even in church. Well, if you're doing great, you just told who your daddy was. You ain't doing great. If you're saved, you're not doing great. And let me tell you something else. If you're out of the will of God, you ain't doing great. Am I telling it right? Say amen. Hey, stay on board for staying in the will of God. Then stay on board for safety's sake. You know what? If you're in God's will, not a thing can happen. People ask me, are you afraid? Listen, and I'm afraid of height. I don't like to get up on nothing. You've heard me tell this here before, preacher. I'm scared to death to get up on things high, to crawl up, to climb up on things high. You know what I'm saying? Like some of these high buildings and different things like that, I wouldn't get up there. If you'd give me Columbus to get up on the main building, the highest building here, say, I'll give you the city of Columbus. I'll give you a deed to every building in here to get up and just put a roof on it. I'd tell you, keep it. I don't want none of it. I ain't getting up there. Slip off there and break my neck. And have to lay somewhere paralyzed for the rest of my life. So I ain't doing that. I'm not going to do that. I don't get up on stuff like that. Hey, that's right. If you'd pay my house off right now, say, I'll pay it off, you'll roof it. I wouldn't do it. And I owe a lot of money. I wouldn't go up there. I wouldn't roof it for it if you give me the deed to it. You say, well, I'm scared of height. I really am. Let me tell you something. There's some things, you know, brother, there's some things you better fear.
Yes, sir.
But I'll tell you, I ain't near as scared of height as I am, Brother Tony, of getting out of the will of God and messing up. Let me tell you something. Listen to me right quick. I'm going to take this thing in here in a minute. But let me tell you something. There's been some times I've got so discouraged. And every time, you know, people see these preachers up here preaching, and I'm speaking for me, they see you up here preaching, and they think, well, you know what? I bet somebody like that don't ever get discouraged or ever get down or defeated. Well, listen. Why? Listen. You ever read the Bible about old Elijah?
Yeah.
Right. Hey, listen, I've got so low. Listen, I've got so discouraged and got so low I could sit down on the edge of a dime and swing my feet, buddy. Hey, I've got down before, got discouraged. Hey, and thought about resigning, just thought about resigning. But then, Brother Richards, this always comes to my mind. When I think about resigning, then I think about leaving out of God's will. See what I'm saying? And then I had three kids and a wife. And you go and you step out here, it's easy once you step off the edge. You're gone. Ain't no coming back. Hey, it's a whole lot easier to jump out of God's will than it is to get back in.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. Hey, I've gotten discouraged before, but I have found this. If you'll just keep doing what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
And stay in that book and pray and just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know what will happen is, listen, the storm's going to pass. You'll get through it. It's just hard. It's not easy. You just got to stay with it. Oh, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Best thing you can do is stay on board because of staying in God's will. Then for safety's sake. And then let me say this right here. Stay on board, listen, because of the strength that you get from the meat of the Word of God on board. Verse number 33. Look at verse 33. I'm going to show you something here. Look at verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you've tarried and continued fasting, taking nothing. Hey, there's a bunch of lost people on there fasting 14 days. You say, why, buddy? You get in a bad enough storm, you lose your appetite. There's more worried about dying than was eating. Paul said, boys, need to take some meat. Take some meat. And hey, and he thanked God for the meat. And they sit down and eat. You know what? You jump off overboard, though, you don't get no meat. You know why? The meat's in here. See, Sunday morning, Sunday school hour in here, you come to this auditorium class or whatever class, you remember, you're going to get something from the Word of God. If you come in here, you're going to get something.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something else. You come back Sunday morning for the preaching hour and stay Sunday night for the preaching hour and get in here on Wednesday night for the preaching hour, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get meat. And when you get meat, you get strength.
Yeah.
believe something else. And preacher, I don't know if this goes on around here, but it does around our place. I've got people that's in ministries that backslide. Now, let me tell you something. You get something like this or something like we've got or something. They're sounding some of these churches run bus ministry stuff. Brother Tony, we got some down in the gym. We got children's church down in the gymnasium. We got teen church over here. Brother Mark Allison's preaching in teen church. And we got a nursing home church going on down here and three or four different services going around. But let me tell you what happens to people. People starts out good working in them ministries, but then they get backslid. And they start, you think they're down there working in their ministries. They're out there sitting around somewhere drinking a Coca-Cola, talking to their buddy. They ain't even in church. And then first thing you know, they done jumped overboard. And I'll tell you why. They'll find something wrong with the church, but I'll tell you what the real deal was. They jumped overboard, wasn't getting no meat. Brother, you better get in. You better get in. And I'm telling you something. And I ain't trying to get nobody to quit nothing. But rather than see a family get out of church, if you're working in children's church and you ain't halfway doing that, you ain't getting nothing.
Right.
Brother, you better get back in here on Sunday night and Wednesday night and hear something. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And you need to be in where you're taking something in. Because let me tell you something. You ain't going to make it if you don't. I don't care who you are. You need preaching.
Amen.
Hey, you need, this week, the way this thing reads up here, or it says where battered souls are brought back into ship shape. You know what that's saying? Getting back where you need to be.
Right.
That's the whole reason of this meeting.
Right.
Whole reason of this meeting is so you'll get in here, get something, to get you back Sunday, to get you back Sunday night, to get you back Wednesday night, to keep you going and keep you going and keep you going. But if you jump overboard, listen, you done strayed away from God's will, then you've committed yourself to the sea for no safety, and then you get no strength. See, you believe it or not, you need to hear the choir. You need to hear it. You need to hear these specials. You need to hear Brother Tony. And Brother Jenkins, Brother Gray, and these is preachers. You need to hear the preacher. You need that. See, you say, why? Strength of the Word of God. Hey, let me give you something else. Then, listen, the next thing is stay on board because of stamina you get from the fellowship. Hey, that's in verse 35-36. Look at it real quick here. And I'm about to finish up. But and when they had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. You know what it meant? They's all there. And when he had broken it, they began to eat. They began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And we were in all the ship, 200, 316 souls. You know what? They need the fellowship. Hey, you know why you need to be here? You need to be here because God has ordained this thing to have a church. Hey, Hebrews 10:25. He exhorts us, listen, to come together. Hey, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day's talking about? Day of the second coming. He said so much more as we draw near the second coming, you need to even be more faithful. Hey, you know what you need? You need to be here. Why? The songs. Why? The sermons. Why? The strength you get from people. You know what? Sometimes just somebody's shaking your hand and saying, hey, man, it's good to see you today. I'm glad you're here. God bless you. We're glad you're here. By the way, that's why churches ought to be friendly. And yours is. But you know what? The Bible said a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but a church that has people will show themselves friendly. Hey, you know what? It costs millions of dollars to build buildings, but let me tell you, it doesn't cost nothing for you to be friendly. And shake somebody's hand and tell them God loves you. Amen? Hey, I'm simply saying you need the fellowship, the stamina that you get from the fellowship, you see. Psalm 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, old Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, you know what he did? If you read that 1 Kings 19, verse 3 and 4, he left his servant there. And Brother Tony, he run on by himself, but he left that man that was with him there. You know what he did? He isolated himself. He got away from everybody. Hey, folks, that ain't God's plan for you.
Amen.
God fixed it where you need somebody. He even said, when he made Adam, he said, it's not good for him to be left alone. He said, I'm going to make him a wife. And you want to go off, and what you want to do is when you're going through a battle, going through a storm, you just want to get off of yourself. But let me tell you what you really need to do. You need to get on board and come in here and get in this auditorium and hear this singing and hear this preaching and get some help. Am I telling it right? Say amen. Hey, let me tell you something else. Hey, stay on board, for the storm will soon pass. Hey, look what it says, verse 33. I'm about through. The storm's going to pass. Look at it, verse 33 here. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that we've tarried and continued fasting, taking nothing. Hey, 14 days they've been out there. But I'm going to tell you, and you know what? When you're going through a storm, 2 weeks seems like eternity. Hey, and by the way, you know what we do? We feel sorry for ourselves. Really, most of us don't even know what a good storm is. We don't know. I preached in a church, and let me just take just a couple more minutes to tell you this. I preached in a church in May for Don Chitty out there on the Indian Reservation. And on my way out there, Don Chitty's assistant pastor, Leland Jim, he's Navajo Indian boy, been with Don for years. About 10, 12 years ago, maybe longer, he had a 13-year-old boy killed by a drunk driver. He had killed his boy. Him and his preacher and their wives had went to Kentucky to preach a meeting. And Don was preaching, Chitty was preaching, and Leland was preaching. And on Saturday night, they got a telephone call. Leland's daughter lived in Florida. And her husband had left her. Her husband, Leland's daughter's husband, had left her and took off with another woman. Well, then that didn't work out, so he come back, tried to get her to go back with him. Well, she wouldn't do it. They had two little children, and he just stayed after all time about coming back. Well, on this Saturday evening, she come out of a restaurant where she had been in there eating with her two children, and when she come out of there, the husband was sitting over in here watching, and he had a key to the car, and he opened the trunk of her car and got in it. And then she put the baby, Brother Tony, in the car seat, and she was getting ready to get in, and he jumped out and come running around the car preacher with a hunting knife and stabbed her to death, stabbed his wife. And then he jumped in the car, back in the car out, he run over, takes off with the two children in the car, takes off and makes a big loop around through town and comes back. By that time, they'd call 911. And they'd call 911, some emergency workers was down there on the ground trying to save her life. He comes back and runs over top of both of them workers and her again. Then he takes off again in the car. And the state police, but this time's after him. And they had this roadblock up, you know, where they flatten your tires with these spikes. And when he ran over them spikes, they was waiting on him. But before they could get to the car, he took a pistol and turned and shot both of his babies and then shot himself. Now, there's that young, that preacher up there now. They've got one kid dead. And he gets a telephone call that his daughter and both of the grandbabies was dead. Now, listen, he had to leave that meeting and fly to Florida and identify. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. He flew back home on Saturday night. Listen to this, him and his wife, and she played the piano for the church service the next morning, the mother, and that man drove his bus. You say, how'd they do it? Because all these years they've been on board. Hey, by the way, they're still on board. I preached that week at him. That next week, we started a meeting at his church, five-night meeting. I preached 5 nights. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Right over here, right there, they sat right there and listened to me every night. That man and woman didn't miss service. That's what you call staying on board. You said they're going to make it? They're going to make it. You said, how could anybody make it through that? You just got to stay on board. Hey, you know what Job said? Job said in the 16th chapter, he said, he hath taken me up by my neck and hath shaken me to pieces. You know what God did? God grabbed that boat and picked it up and shook it to pieces. And let me tell you something, friend, in your life one of these days, brother, you think that little trial you're going through, that little old junk you're dealing with that you're calling a storm, you ain't seen no storm. I just told you about a storm. And by the way, bud, that'll rattle your cage. Let me tell you something. You better, listen, that's the reason every day you better stay on board and get this book and get something. You better get a hold of God every day and get a hold of God and pray and sit in here. Let me tell you something else. And I'm going to promise you I'm going to finish up here. Let me give you one more point. Listen, stay on board, listen. Stay on board, listen. Because support for your pastor. Support your preacher. Hey, you know what the Bible said? Obey them, have rule over you. Hey, you know what? It's you may not believe this, because I ain't home, so I can say whatever I want to say about this. I can say what I want to say, and I'm getting ready to sit down and let the real preacher come. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. But you support your preacher. Hey, you know what, pastor in a Baptist church in the days we're living in? Listen, you can think whatever you want to think about this statement. I think it's one of the hardest jobs you can have. Brother, I deal with more crazy stuff now than I ever dealt with in my life. And I got good people. I got great people. And I deal with things I never thought I'd ever deal with in my life. You ain't got no clue what this fellow right there deals with. And yet he comes faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and feeds you and prays for you. And by the way, if you're a man of God sitting out here, you ought to listen. You ought to say, well, one thing I ain't going to do, I ain't going to cause him 1 second's trouble. You say, well, you know what? If I get crossways with him, I'll just leave. No, what you ought to do is get right with God. Then stay on board for souls' sake. Hey, down in verse, I think it's about 36 or so. You can look it up there. 36. And we were in all the ship. And it gives the amount right here. Look at it. Look right there at it. 276 people is what it is. It's 276 people. Stay on board. Look at it right there. Verse number 37. And we were in all the ship, 216 souls. Right. 276 people. Hey, notice he didn't say 276 men. He said souls. Yeah. You stay on board for souls' sake. Amen. Jesus said the fields are white under harvest, but laborers are few. Now, I know maybe this ain't been a great message, but I'm going to tell you something. You listen to what I'm telling you. Hey, I'm trying to help you. And whatever you do, and let me tell you something else. Last thing I want to say, stay on board because of the stories, war stories. Stories. You know what? I like to hang around. You know, 32 years of being somewhere. You know who I like to be around? Bobby Robertson, Brother Tom. Hey, if you get around him, you'll get a history lesson. I was with him one day, been preaching with him, and me and him come in. He said, did I ever show you where I was born? We was coming back, and I said, no. He said, I want to take you and show you where I was born. He took me over and showed tears coming in his eyes. He'd tell me about it. He said, right over there, I was bored. And he said, right over here's where I got saved. Took me over and showed me the old Kerwin church, showed me where he got called to preach. And then he took me down to that old block building. He said, right here's where we started, Brother Darrell. He started telling me things, walking around there and naming peoples in that little old graveyard that's there. And he started telling me things. You know what he's got? The other week, 60 years, Brother Tony, he was there. 60 years. 60 years in one pulpit. You think he ain't got stories, but let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that's been there. He's got people who was there when he came. They're still there. He's got some people that's there now that was there when he came. He's got just a handful of them, of members that's still there. It was there 60 years ago. Hey, you think they ain't got some war stories? You think they ain't seen battles? You think they, but listen up. You know what? You got bragging rights when you just stay. He said, I remember when we bought that property right there. I remember when we built that building. I remember when they redone this foyer here and built this over here. I remember when they bought them buses. All them buses said, I was here when they bought every one of them. I was here when they started that bus ministry. See, what you can do, you can say, hey, I was there. I was there. We had a guy in our church. He's dead now, but he was a D-Day in Normandy. Our teachers, our history teachers, would bring him in our Christian school when they'd teach American history. And they'd let him walk in there and teach. On World War II. Listen, He didn't just tell about the troops that was there.
Yeah.
Hey, he'd have them mesmerized. He's telling about when he jumped out, what time it was, how old he was. He told about what he saw. Hey, he could still get in his uniform. He'd wear that 101st Airborne uniform. He'd wear that old tan, back in them days, the uniforms were tan. He'd wear that old tan uniform and come in there and stand up and teach that history class. Listen, if he was to take that shirt off, he could show you where an 8mm German bullet went through right here and come out back and blow the shoulder blade off. He had the war story. I love to be around him. I love to get him going, just listen. But you know what he done? He stayed on board.
Amen.
36 years. He was in the 101st Airborne. Just stay on board. You're a member? Hey, you can't put the anchor down if you ain't on board.
Yeah,
Anchor Baptist Church, are you anchored?
Yes,
let's pray. Father, help us. And I pray, Lord, as Brother Tony comes here in a little bit, Lord, you'd use him. And God, preach him and help him to, Lord, help us. Lord, we need help. And bless Brother Bell. Thank you for these preachers that are here. God bless their churches. Thank you for what you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.